My most humble pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet. Respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to all of you. It is with a longing heart that my wife, my son, and I, you know, we'll be leaving back to New Jersey. Like I mentioned earlier, we're just overwhelmed with everyone's love, caring, and hospitality. And we feel, the three of us personally feel so energized looking at how all of you, that Swami's presence is in all of you, and we feel it directly. And we feel humbled and we feel so inspired by all of you. So thank you so much for having us here and for making us part of the celebrations. So we're very grateful. I thought today that I would kind of... Yesterday, I apologize. I rushed through a few of the last slides, and I thought today I would kind of summarize a few salient points that I wanted to bring out, and also show a small video of Swami's interaction with students. Maybe during the video, I may ask every once in a while for it to be paused, just to make a small explanation. But other than that, I'll just let it speak for itself, because it shows Swami's tender, loving care, kindness, love, you know, the love of a million mothers. So that'll kind of conclude and wrap things up. So I wanted to touch on one or two points. And like I mentioned yesterday, this was an interview where Swami had asked my wife and I to go back to America. We were leaving with very heavy hearts because my wife had, through her young age, you know, before she was born, had very close interaction with Swami. Myself also as a student, but with my family and as a student, had close interaction. And we were in tears because it was very hard to leave Swami's physical presence. And I know that, you know, ultimately, Swami asks us all to realize his omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. But for us, and I still have to confess even today, my path on spiritual development is very low, or my level, I should say, in that, you know, I still find it hard to leave Swami's physical, you know, form and presence and things like that. But... And the reason why I'm showing this slide again is Swami addressed that particular issue in this interview. So we mentioned that to Swami. We fell at his feet and said, Swami, we don't want to leave you. And the first thing Swami said is, you know, having stayed all these years here, yeah, I'm surprised that you haven't realized that Swami is everywhere. He's omnipresent. And sometimes I think that, you know, having that... It's, of course, you know, we're very fortunate to have that close physical presence, being in his presence. But at the same time, I have to say that, you know, we are not as tuned to, I would say, devotees who are, you know, I've seen devotees who've never, or talked with devotees who've never seen Swami physically. And they feel Swami's presence. They've seen him in visions, in dreams. They are aware of Swami's presence at all times during bhajan. And that is the level at which Swami wants all of us to rise and reach up. And that is something that I certainly didn't have then, and I have trouble even now. But Swami said, see, when they themselves, and Swami said, there's so many devotees out there who constantly feel my presence. I'm there with... I'm in everyone, I'm around everyone, I'm with everyone. Never forget that. You've been a student for this many years. Your family has been here for this many years, and it's high time you understand that. And that's what he said. And when he said that, he said, you know, don't feel sad. I'm always with you, but not just with you, I'm with everybody. When you go to America, Swami is there. Swami is in America, he's in every continent, he's with everybody. You just have to tune yourself to realize that. And Swami gave an example of being a receptive pot. He said, Swami's grace is everywhere. It showers on everyone equally, in all places, at all times. But we are like a pot. We are like an overturned pot. Or he specifically described, you know, don't be an overturned pot. You know, because the rain will hit an overturned pot and just splash and bounce right off. Be a pot that's oriented towards the rain. And that too, when be a pot not just oriented towards the rain, but also rid oneself of all bad qualities and habits. Be pure. Always think that Swami is with you. And try, and not try, but do implement Swami's teachings wherever you are. And that's what he specifically said. The pot should be devoid of dirty water. The pot should be emptied of all bad qualities so that the rain can fall, the clean rain of Swami's grace can fall into the pot, and fill up to the brim and have it overflow with Swami's love. So Swami basically said the onus is on us to orient oneself towards Swami and towards his teachings and implement. Swami was very particular about implementing his teachings. The way we implement them is, of course, everyone's personal one-to-one relationship with Swami. To some, he'll say, be more active in certain activities. To others, he'll say, try to reach the pinnacle of your field. To others, he may say something else. Everyone has a role in his divine mission. Swami said, not even one person is insignificant. You are all Swami. And the only thing is, you haven't realized it while I have. So that is the standard that he expects from all of us. And that is a standard of which he constantly exhorts us to move towards. As part of that interview, he also, I unfortunately was suffering from a little bit of ill health. I didn't really explain it in yesterday's speech, but I was born premature at birth. I was born in the seventh month, and my mother had had a very, very difficult pregnancy with me. And it was in the United States. She was hemorrhaging from the end of the sixth month of pregnancy, and she was in the hospital. She had four other children, but she had to spend 2 months, about 2 months in the hospital, a little bit before my birth and sometime afterwards as well. In fact, I actually came home before she did. And I was in an incubator after birth. But what happened was in the birthing room, you know, the doctors were basically very honest with my parents. They said, listen, this birth is very, very dangerous. It's bad. It could end up quite bad. The hemorrhaging is quite serious. Again, the intricacies of the medical, what was going on, I'm not familiar with. But suffice it to say, it was life-threatening. That's what the doctors described it as. And they also said the child is probably may or may not survive if it's born. And also, you know, the childbirth itself is extremely detrimental to the mother's well-being. But my mother left everything with Swami, that spirit of Sharanagati or surrender. And believe it or not, I'll cut to the chase and say that in the birthing room, she saw Swami physically. And this was in America, in a hospital in Queens. She saw him standing next to the doctors, and he was giving Abhayahasta like this. And she immediately felt comforted. Till then, she was in extreme, excruciating pain. In fact, you know, before that, the doctors said to my father, you know, say your last goodbyes to your wife, because before she goes into labor, it's probably better you do that in case she doesn't come out. And so when that happened, she was in tears and she was extremely emotional, and my father also was very greatly affected. And of course, all the other kids were crying in the waiting room. But at the end of the day, look at Swami. He came physically to the United States. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. But he came there in that birthing room, waved his hand, gave Abhayahasta, and believe it or not, the birth was, you know, they said it could be a C-section, it could be cross, it could be this, that. But at the end of the day, the birth was extremely easy. And I came out, I was immediately put in the incubator, and absolutely nothing. The doctors were really amazed. They said, my God, they had like a team of people that they brought from various cities to look over that birth. But at the end of the day, they didn't need any of that. That is Swami's miracle. And 2 years later, in 1969, we all went to Puttaparthi. I was a small baby, 2 years old. Swami materialized a locket for my mother. And it was like a slide, I don't know how to call it, like a, those old slides that they used to have, slide projector. So it was a picture of Swami. And he said, you know, always keep this with you. And do you know that I was there in America with you? That before she even brought it up, she didn't even speak about the birth because she was so emotional in tears. As soon as she went into the interview room, she was crying and fell at his feet. And he said, I know why you're crying. I know why you're so emotional. You're crying because I gave you a second life. And you're crying because of the safety of the son was safe. So Swami was extremely kind, and he said, always remember that I'm always with everybody. I'm there with everybody and never forget. So I'm bringing this up only to show that Swami is with us at all times. He's always protecting us. It's really us to see, hear, and listen. Similarly, you know, when I came back, again, part of this interview, sorry for going back and forth, but one of the things so basically I mentioned that to say that, you know, because I was, of course, Swami's grace is always there, but I don't know whether it was because of that or the premature, but my health has always been a little bit spotty. Nothing very serious by Swami's grace, and you know, he's always been very kind and showering his grace, but at that time I was a little bit unwell. And Swami, what he said is, you know, you're going to America. And he waved his hand and he materialized a small Shivalinga. And he called it a Jyotirlinga. And he said, every day you pour water and you drink and you'll be fine. And so at that time, you know, he gave us also, you know, a send-off. And right after that, we got on the flight and we left. So at the end of the day, you know, one more thing he told me is, you know, when you go to America, when you work, you know, always, you know, be peaceful. Again, it was a sort of an extension of what he's told us about marriage. Marriage is understanding. You know, he said, you know, when you come home, he gave very, very specific practical advice. He said, when you come home, don't bring the work pressures home and shout at your wife and shout at the family. And then he was telling, you know, he chastised me. He said, you know, you have to, even though you're tired when you come home, don't show your irritation and temper. And he said, it's very easy to do that. And he said, that should never be done. And you try to, when you come home, you think of Swami. You come home, drink a cool glass of water, and then speak to everybody, and you always think of Swami. That way, you'll never have any problems. He similarly told my wife, you know, when your husband comes home, you know, don't immediately accost him with all sorts of things. You first, you know, make sure he's comfortable, and then, you know, then you talk about family issues. Because, of course, Swami said the mother is the one, the wife is the one that bears the actual burden of the household. So he was telling me, see, you, easy for you, you go to work, you come back, and then you can relax. But the wife of a woman and a mother, the life of a wife or a woman, a mother, is extremely arduous and difficult. They are the foundation of the home, and they deserve all the respect and the utmost respect. And that's why he was of the 10 minutes of that, 9 minutes of this chastisement was directed towards me to say, when you come home, don't be irritable. Now, of course, Swami, I don't want to say Swami puts people into molds or generalize. This was specific advice to both of us. He told me, as far as possible, you work, and he told her, you try to stay at home. Again, this should not be generalized for all people. To other people, he'll say, you know, the wife should go and work. She has a talent and has to go, and the husband stays. So this is all very individual advice. So I don't want everyone to think that this is what Swami says and goes back. And in fact, I would say everything that I've said, some of it could be very individualized. You know, I've seen so many times as a student, sometimes he says, you should be a doctor. And then doctor is a very noble profession. Or he'll say, you should be a lawyer. Lawyer is a very noble profession. And then to others, he'll say, no, don't be a lawyer. Because lawyers have to sometimes, you know, deal in difficult problems and topics. So, you know, that is, again, very specific advice. So similarly to us, it was very specific advice that he gave in our case. But I'm just sharing it just to see, just to show that, you know, Swami thinks of everything. That, you know, marriage is understanding it is back to that theme. Whatever it is, the one generalized theme that could be brought out of that is that marriage is understanding. And to be that receptive pot and realize that Swami is with us, in us, and around us. And he said part of that understanding is, and he said, that's why I gave you your ring. I forgot to mention in the marriage experience yesterday when he did our wedding, Swami actually created a white ring for me and my brother when we were engaged. And Swami did the engagement the day before the wedding. He called us into Thrai Brindavan and called both families. And I think I mentioned yesterday we were showing the saris and the jewels and he was looking over it and all of that. And he created a white ring and put it on both my brother and myself. The next day, before our wedding, he called us again inside and he said, okay, where are your rings? And we said, here, Swami, on our hand. And he took each ring, he blew on it, and the ring was right in front of us, and he blew on it, and that white, the ring with the whites, it had white stones in it, small white stones, that ring transformed into this ring with the green, one green stone on it. And Swami said, see, yes, that was yesterday's ring for engagement, this is today's ring for wedding, marriage. And he said, I'm giving you green because green is for peace. And always, you know, be at peace. Think of it when you, you know, wherever you are, whatever you do, be at peace, be calm, be happy. You know, another interesting thing I mentioned yesterday, this was a picture of my father asking Swami to name my son, and that is when he gave the name Makshaya to my son, Swami did. But my father had, I was going to narrate one experience of my father, you know, which is applicable because it was something that he always took back to the United States with him when he was working here. So Swami would often, like I mentioned about my grandfather, Swami had this very special relationship with my father as well. And he would, in the mid-60s and late-60s, early 70s, he would call my father in upstairs to his room in his residence and talk to him about various topics. I would say the majority of those topics were either about the Upanishads, Veda, you know, Brahma Sutras. But the two topics that my father, that he would talk to my father about, you know, was the Taittiri Upanishad and the Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, during these sessions, you know, my father would be there trying to very quickly take down notes. But in the first meeting when Swami was explaining the intricacies of the Taittiri Upanishad, Swami said, why notes? Don't worry about notes. Don't take notes. There's no need of them. All of these lessons you will recall whenever you need them. And so he gave that assurance to my father. And he said, and, you know, my father remembered that. And so he would just sit and listen. And he said, it's not just today's lessons. It's just, it has to do with generally what Swami talks. He said, I will bless to make sure you will recall whenever you need them. And later on, whether it was later on, this was about 20 years later or 15 years later, when my father moved back to India, I said that he moved, when Swami said to come, he came, and after 30 years, he moved back. So Swami would ask him to give these lectures and talks. Now, of course, a lot of the things Swami said, my father utilized here in America. He would give Bhagavad Gita lectures in the Hindu temple in Flushing, New York. And it was all based on Swami's interpretations and what he spoke to my father about. But even later on, when my father moved back, Swami would often ask him to give lectures and speeches in Thrai Brindavan or in other places. and in front of Swami. And my father would relate to us that he never forgot that day when Swami said he would be able to recall all this material. And that the material, you know, would come to him. And so he would often give these two-hour, three-hour speeches, which was astounding because it was something that Swami, my father would always say it was something that Swami put into his head and he was able to maintain. So the thing my father always said is, that was just, it had to do with him, but in general, my father said, Swami will give that capacity to everybody. And Swami gave that assurance to my father, said, not only you, but everybody. He said, in general, as we listen to his discourses, as we listen to Swami's, exhortations and sayings and things like that, automatically, Swami will always come to each and every one of us and all of us and constantly make us remember. But we have to put in the hard work. That's what my father remembers Swami saying, in that we have to put effort. And if we put effort, imbibe, listen, be at calm, be at peace, all of Swami's teachings will come back to us whenever we really need them. I think I'll stop with that. Oh, one more thing is, this is just a small funny comment. When he did call my father up, a lot of times he would materialize various things. One time at the end of this Taittiriya Upanishad talk, he said, oh, after all of this talk, you must be very hungry. Swami said, you know, I troubled you a lot, so you must be hungry. And Swami waved his hand and he materialized a gigantic laddu for my father. So my father was alone upstairs. And my father said he will never forget the fragrance, the delicious aroma that was coming from that laddu. And it was hot and fresh as if it was brought straight from the divine kitchen. And my father's mouth was watering when that happened. Swami noticed that. So he allowed him to, he broke off a piece, gave it to my father and said, eat. So even at that time, Swami would, you know, give him all these instructions, but also take care of the daily, the worldly part of, you know, the eating part. And so Swami also said, you know, you take this and you share it with your family at, you know, back in the house. So again, an example of Swami's love. I'll move to the video now. So just a quick, I was extremely grateful to Swami in that he gave an opportunity to take videos of him. You know, it's hard to suddenly pop up and take Swami's video. When I was a student and my brother would take photographs, my brother Ravi Shankar, we're actually five brothers, eldest is Aryama, second is Ramesh, third is Manohar, fourth is Ravi Shankar, I'm the fifth. So when I was a student and when my brother was taking photos and I would take video, Swami was extremely kind. You can't really do anything without Swami's permission. And he was very kind and allowed us. And I don't know if it's ready. This is Swami coming to the hostel. Here, Swami is walking amongst the students in the hostel, making sure everyone has a full plate and is going to eat. Kanula mundara kadali aade karuna rupamunivu pilachinantane palukarinche prema bhavamunivu nive maasa. Back into the kitchen. So Swami would, in that, I edited this video for time reasons, but Swami would go back into the kitchen and bless all the food. He would, stir all the pots and serve everyone and make sure everyone got food. And that particular scene, I think, so as Balu can say, can attest, you know, so each senior students were allowed to sit first with Swami and eat because they were going to pass out of the college. So we had a wonderful time. I'm sure he also had so many dinners with Swami and lunches. But it was nice. And that particular scene, that was actually my senior dinner, but unfortunately I was taking the video so I couldn't sit down. But I thought it was nice to be able to do that and to be behind Swami and to take his photos. So. This is in Vrindavan. This is the place where all the students would rush up into Thrai Vrindavan.
Vedaku Brahmaramunenu Yella Velala Madhu Koratai Vedaku Brahmaramunenu Prema Madhuvunu Nindiyunna Hridaya Kamalamu Neevu Neeve Maa Sarvam Neeve Maa Kaanu Kanula Mundara Kadaliyaade Karuna Roopamu Neevu Pilachinantane Palukarinche Prema Bhavamu Neevu
Here Swami is and he was lighting these sparklers and handing them out to all the students. Swami was also very concerned about he was concerned about the safety, so he wanted people to. He's saying here. He's saying here, hold the thing.
Swami. Swami, please.
Go. I think there's Swami. We would always try to ask Swami to come to the hostel. This was actually Vrindavan, and Vrindavan boys were asking. And Swami was concerned at the time, you know, first hand out these sparklers, and then, so he said, go, hand them out, and then we'll worry about that later. Here the students were doing a Bhangra dance. So here he would shower his love on all the students, he'd take pictures with them. And in the dance boys were the band boys. These are the Vedan boys. Swami would always distribute, you know, fruits, apples, chocolates, candies, and, you know, he would, again, individually to each student directly. You can see how far some of them are going, and they always, like I mentioned earlier, land where they're supposed to. So here, Swami came to the stadium in Puttaparthi, 1986, you see. And he came to watch a volleyball game that the students were putting up as part of the annual sports. It was raining.
My humble pranam.
So there he asked what game, and everyone said volleyball, and Swami said, okay, everyone put your tails. Because volleyball is a game where, is that the right?
At the volleyball match.
Yeah, and also because Vali is the monkey, but also because when you play volleyball, you jump up and down like a monkey.
So, for the Memorial Championship Trophy, which has been instituted in the memory of late.
Here he's actually blessing the volleyball and signing it.
Of the Vrindavan campus. The two teams are as follows.
So those were the two team captains, and they brought the volleyball up. So Swami was very loving. He would come to all these...
Vice captain is Satya Prakash. The other team members are Rajesh Gupta, Tarun Batra, Atul Amrite, Jatin Mehta, Sai Kumar, Pallav Barua, Anil Kumar, G.R. Prasad, Shiv Kumar, and Gautam.
Swami is saying it's raining, so everyone go inside the canopy or tent.
The other team members are Ravindra, Upendra, Satya Prasad, Megasham, Hari Prasad, Vishwanath, Nagesh P. Rao, Nandakishore, Yuvraj Suri, and Raj Kobal.
Yeah, actually, we have a captain of the volleyball team here.
And we have had a very interesting match till now. The Vrindavan team put up a very good fight, but the Prashantinilam team, with coordinated teamwork, won the first two games, 15-8, 15-9. The third game is about to begin.
Captains, double march.
We'll take part in the annual sports.
This was the inauguration ceremony of annual sports. Then, this is a compilation from different years.
Respecting and abiding the rules which govern them.
Tu pyar ka sagar hai, tu pyar ka sagar hai, teri is bund ke pyar se hum.
So the students were in front. They would you'd allow them to ride motorcycles and receive Swami. This is where students brought cows for
Thank you. मन का पागल पंछी उड़ने को बेकरार
And Swami is always such a loving one. So this is just a small collection, and again, very grateful for the opportunity, and again, offer our humble pranams at Bhagawan's lotus feet. Jai Sai Ram.